Well, today, I'm going to ask you a question, and hopefully we'll get it answered. Amen? Just who is this Jesus Christ? You ever wonder? Who is Jesus Christ? The world so freely chooses to swear by his name. Or take it in vain, you know. If it doesn't make you cringe when somebody does that, then I just wonder if you really know him. Or do you care about him? I know if somebody uses my name in vain, I'm not too happy about it. You know, if somebody gossips about you or says something, it kind of makes you get a little upset, doesn't it? And yet, all the time, people are speaking disrespect to the name of Jesus. Well, just who is this Jesus Christ? A lot of people tend to think about Jesus Christ as a little baby born in a manger. And that he was. Notice, was. And that he died on a cross for our sins. Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But they might not think about the resurrection. Or if they do, they really don't understand it or put any credence to it. There's a lot of people that think that just wearing a cross will give them protection. Guess what? It's not the cross that gives you protection. And just wearing a cross with Jesus on the cross, well, all that does is remind you of his death. What about his resurrection? What about the power and the glory that comes from the resurrection? Whole nations will think that just wearing a cross with Jesus on it will bring them protection, will go and you know, help them through anything. But that's not it. If you have faith in that, you've got your vision off a little bit. Because we need to have it on the risen Savior. Amen? He's not someone who died 2,000 years ago and he's still in that grave. I've got somebody praising the Lord. But what is he like now, today? Or what was he like before he came to the earth? So we're going to be reading some scriptures, of course. So I want you to turn with me to the book of John and the very first chapter. So I may be doing a bunch of reading today, but the word gives us more than anything else, right? I mean, my words don't mean anything, but the Holy Spirit's words, as he reveals it to us, mean a lot. Are you there? Book of John, first chapter and first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Notice it says he, the word is a person or a being. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. He's the creator. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Even today, the light is shining, and the world does not comprehend it, right? Sadly to say, a lot of times we Christians don't really comprehend it. That's why we want the Holy Spirit to teach us, right? Amen. Well, we're going to pray right now, and we're going to just ask him to open our eyes, that we can see who Jesus really is. Okay? So, Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We've been singing about that name. And that name is very precious because of the price that Jesus paid for us. And it's even more precious because of what that name continues to do. And it sets men free. It opens up doors for us to walk through. And Lord, we want to walk through that door today where we can clearly see you. We want to have you open our eyes, open our ears so that we can see and hear what you are truly like. We know that you're loving and that you care for us. We've seen your life here on this earth, that you came to set us free, that you bring us deliverance, you cause our sickness to go away. You cause us to walk in prosperity. All these things that you have given to us, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that even now we're going to see more of who you are. We want to see you, Lord. We want to experience you in the precious name of Jesus. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that reveals you unto us. Hallelujah. You agree with that in the name of Jesus?
Amen.
You got your spiritual eyes on? You're looking? Hallelujah. You're listening?
Amen.
Verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this John is John the Beloved, one of the inner three that was Jesus' disciples. And this man was the one that would lean his head up against Jesus' chest. He was so close to the Lord. He wanted to be right there and hear the heartbeat of God. Well, because of that relationship, I believe that he was chosen for it to be revealed to him more about what Jesus is like. And so this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, because Jesus is light, right? That all through him might believe. You know what? I think I got ahead of myself. I told you totally wrong. This John is, he was not that light. John, he was talking about John the Baptist. Sorry about that. I'm getting so carried away in my message that John the Baptist is the one he's talking about right now here. Okay, John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He, talking about Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You are actually a child of God. When you believe and receive Jesus, those who believe in his name, that precious name of Jesus, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God chose to recreate, to make you new, a brand new soul, a brand new spirit, I should say. Hallelujah. So everything was made by Jesus. He's our creator. Sometimes we don't think about that. He created that, and when he was creating us, he was thinking about all the things that was going to happen, and at that point, he decided that he would come to earth as a man, just like us, and go through all the stuff that we go through. So he's been there. Hallelujah. He knows what we're going through. Then I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1. The very first verse we'll start with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God, we know, is the creator. And then we hear back over there that Jesus was the creator. So that makes him equal with God, doesn't it? He is God. Now look down at verse 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. He blessed mankind. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God's original intent was for man to rule over everything, right? Not for the creature to rule over man, but for man to rule over the creature. He made everything for man and put man in a perfect world. But we're not going to get into how all that came to not be perfect. Because today we're focusing on Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So we see back there, we see that there was more than one. And it says our. Is it not our plural? Right? So that means there's at least more than one. And then we'll see that we see also in that scriptures that the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, over the waters. So you see the Trinity right there. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right?
Amen.
Praise God. So Jesus was not any less God than God the Father or the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is God. Can you say that with me? Jesus is God. Now we all know that, right? I think everybody here knows that. But we're going to learn a little bit more. In the Gospels, we see Jesus as a man. He's walking along this earth. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's doing miracles as a man, filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can do the same thing, filled with the Holy Spirit. We can teach and preach. We can do miracles. Yeah. Each one of you sitting there can do miracles with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, we're not powerless. Our enemy, Satan, would like us to think that we're powerless. We're not powerless. Because we got the Holy Ghost. Even if all you did was get saved, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And then if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, oh boy, watch out. Praise God. You guys getting this? I like to see people respond, you know. Now, I don't know if any of you realize this, but we're heading to the book of Revelations. It says, oh, that book that I thought the Gospels ended at Jude. A lot of times we stop reading at the book of Jude and then we don't go into the book of Revelations because it's got so many mysteries in there, it's hard to understand. Well, that's just what the enemy wants you to think. So you don't read it. But we're going to read chapter 1, and we're going to talk about it as we go along. Chapter 1 of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Wow. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, it also means here the revelation that was given to Jesus to share with the church. But in doing so, it reveals who Jesus Christ is. See, what we need to know is not what he was like back then. Yeah, we're supposed to pattern our life after him, because he shows us what it's like to be a Christian. But who is Jesus Christ right now? Do we know who he is? So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant, John. Now, this is the John. You see? That was in my message. It's just the wrong John. I was trying to, differentiate between that John and this John, and I just got it mixed up. But now we're talking about John the Beloved. Amen? The one that put his head on Jesus' chest. The one that wanted to know intimately. And this is the one that was chosen to be revealed then, who Jesus Christ was. You got that? Did I correct myself?
Yes.
Praise God. We're all human, I hope you know.
Right.
Especially me. Okay, so his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So each one of you is blessed. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Praise God. Whoever reads or hears the book of Revelations, well, why don't we read it more then? It says we're going to be blessed by reading it. But it also says it keeps those things that are written in it. Now, if you think I'm going to go through the whole book of Revelations, you got your thinking mixed up, because it would take a little more than 2 hours. But John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come. You know, at first I thought he was talking about Jesus. He's not. He's talking about God the Father there. God the Father, who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits, or some of them translate the sevenfold spirit of God, who is before his throne. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ. So there's three. That's showing you the Trinity right there again. The faithful witness. Now, as we go along, you're going to see Jesus is being described here. And if you want, you can just make note or you can follow on. But these are the attributes. This whole chapter gives us attributes of Jesus. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the first one that God raised up from the dead after the sacrifice that was made. He's the firstborn. Doesn't mean that he was the first person risen from the dead. You're going to see that throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament. And Jesus even rose people from the dead. But he was the firstborn after the sacrifice was made. So he is the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over kings of the earth. Ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us, he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He made the sacrifice. His blood is what washed us. And he's made us kings and priests. Did you know that? I think we've all been around to have heard that. But do you realize that? You are a king. You are a priest unto God. You are priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming. He's coming in the clouds, just like he went up. He's coming back the same way, through the same door. Okay? He went up through the clouds. He's coming back through the clouds. So keep your eyes trained. I'm the clouds. I just threw that one in. Okay. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Every eye. I don't care whether it's our natural eye or whether we're watching through the TV, whatever it is, you know, they can train that, they can put that camera on that one spot and go around the world. Or he can just be seen around the world. He doesn't need TV. But you know how people try to explain things. Our natural mind wants to figure out a way. Well, I guess he doesn't worry about that. He just tells us what's going to happen. So every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Why do they mourn? Because they didn't accept him. If you've accepted him, you'd never mourn. You'd be rejoicing. But people that don't accept Christ are going to mourn when they see him actually coming back. Because then it's like too late. You waited too long. And Jesus says here, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha is A, Omega is the last letter. In the Greek language, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Oh, wait a minute. Up here, it was talking about God the Father. Down here, Jesus says he's the same. He's making himself equal with God. He is God. We serve a living God. Hallelujah. Not an idol. Not some representation of who was at some point. He is God Almighty. Praise God. Well, that's enough to just start shouting. You out there? All right. You know, Jesus wasn't afraid to say who he was. And neither should we be. We're his witnesses. And if we're, you know, a closet Christian, are you sure you've really had that experience with the Lord? Because the Lord, I mean, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, then I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. I mean, he's the one that has to present us with his blood to God the Father. If we're ashamed of him, and we're secretly, I believe you, but Well, so does the devil believe God, believes in Jesus. But he's trying to do everything in his power to get everybody to go away from Jesus, you know, not follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Jesus was not afraid of saying who he was. Amen?
Amen.
We will not be afraid, right?
That's right.
God has us here. God sent Jim and Shelley to Andover, Massachusetts. And they'd never heard of Andover, Massachusetts. They had to get out a map and look and see if it actually existed. But God sent them here. Now, why? Why did God choose this place? For each and every one of you. Amen?
Amen.
And we are going to be the ones that let the rest of the world know, right?
That's right.
I mean, Jim and Shelley really try hard, but they can only go so far, you know. So it takes all of us working together. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. Okay, John, in verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that was called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, he had been bold and was talking about it and got put in prison. And then he was on the Isle of Patmos, and there's stuff that they talk about, you know, that he went through an awful lot. But in verse 10 he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. On the Lord's day. What's the Lord's day?
Sunday.
He was in the Spirit. In other words, he was most probably worshiping God. And you know what? In the Spirit is a place. Yeah, we can pray in the Spirit. We can sing in the Spirit. But in the Spirit is a place. It's not just some abstract thing out there. Being in the Spirit, you are actually in the presence of God. You may not see him. You may not even feel anything. But he is there. He's with us all the time anyway. But this is a special place of being in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to that place. You have to yield yourself. He's not going to drag you in. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit grabbing your arm and saying, come on, come, let's go. No, I don't want to go in there. No, it's like, Holy Spirit, take me. Amen? I want to be in the Spirit. And on the Lord's day, I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Now these aren't just tiny little lamps. These are big, like menorahs, big lampstands with a lot of lights on them. And there were seven of them, and in the midst of the seven lamps one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. He likes gold. The streets of heaven are gold. So, John recognized him because he had seen him before. And he said, one like the Son of Man. So there was recognition. There was the same appearance. He knew that this was Jesus. But it was a little different, as we're going to see here. He was clothed with this garment down to the feet, girded about the chest with a gold band. His head and hair were white like wool. White, white, white. As white as snow. You ever seen the new fresh snow? How clean and pure it is? It's white. And then you get the sun shining on it, and how bright is that? And his eyes were like flames of fire. I mean, can you imagine all this light reflecting off of this white and everything? And here's his eyes just beaming like fire. You know, whether they reflect or whether it was actual fire, whatever, his eyes were so bright. His hair was so white. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. In other words, it had been prepared for him. It wasn't just thrown together. This was prepared for him. And his voice as the sound of many waters. You ever been to a waterfall like Niagara Falls? Or some falls where the water is just roaring down? Up there it said it's like a trumpet. Here it says it's like the sound of many waters. It's loud. I've only been once to the Niagara Falls when I was a young kid. I still remember it. I still hear it. And I've been to waterfalls over in Africa. Same sound. John was so impressed with this, he had to put it down for us to see. Here's this loud voice. This is going to vibrate throughout the whole world, the whole universe. And in his right hand, he had seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Just, you know, you go out at noonday and you look up there and it's so bright, you got to kind of squint your eyes. You can't really look at it. That's the way Jesus was being presented to John. I want you to get a picture of this. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to show you. You know, if you see each one of these, you know, I'm talking about each one, and you can kind of miss the total picture. But here he is. He's standing there in all of his glory. In amongst all of these lampstands. And he's just kind of moving along in there. But all this light being reflected, but he is light himself. His light is much greater than these other lights. Can you see him there? Can you see him standing there with his white, white hair? What does white represent to us? Purity. It also, you know, if you see Father Time or whatever, it means age. He's the ageless. He's been there forever. He's God Almighty. There he is standing. And he's clothed with this long gown and gold. Bright, can you imagine that light shining off of that? Must have been so brilliant. And when I saw him, this is John, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In other words, don't be afraid to come into my presence. Don't be afraid to look at me. Don't be afraid. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to show you who I am. I'm not the little baby anymore. I'm not the man walking on earth doing all these good things. But I'm God Almighty. God Almighty. In all of His glory. You want to see God in all of His glory? Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Him. John saw Him. And what did he do? He fell at His feet as dead. In other words, he was slain in the Spirit. You want scriptures on being slain in the Spirit? That's one of them. In the garden, when they came to take him, those guys were slain in the Spirit. There's so many scriptures that back up the things that we see, but so often we don't take time to search it out. And we need to search it out so we have understanding, so that the devil can't come and trick us into saying, oh, well, that's not for me. You know, that might be okay for somebody else, but it's not for me. Well, I want everything God's got to give me. I'm just kind of greedy that way. I want it all. If it's out there for me, I want it. Praise God. So Jesus continues here and he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Nobody's ever going to put him to death again. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Remember, he went down into hell and he fought with Satan. He took those keys away from him. And he says he's still got them. He's got those keys. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. Okay, so the mystery of the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Or as some interpret it here, the messengers to the churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So, according to this, a church is represented as a lampstand. Guess what? There's a lot of candles on there. It says we are the light. If we are born again, we are the light, like Jesus is. So each one of us has our little candle on the lampstand. Okay? So how bright can we shine? Hallelujah. You getting the picture of Jesus? Okay, I know some of you have read this before. But sometimes we read it and we just don't let it sink in. Or we don't allow the Holy Spirit to really, or we don't ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what He is really like to us. Now I'm going to read some things. You know, we're jumping over these letters to the churches. Because, I mean, that's something you can read for yourself and God can reveal to you anything that He needs there. But I want to just read, starting in the fourth chapter. Because we're going into the throne room of heaven. Mm. Now, I'm going to try not to comment too much. Just let the word speak to you, okay? So I'm going to read, like, now this is going to be a lot of reading, but the fourth and fifth chapters are going to show you some more about Jesus Christ. Okay? You still with me? After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet, speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. Beautiful colors. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll, or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them that was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, this is the whole creation, saying, "Blessing and glory and honor and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you see that? That's what we're going to. We're going to be there one of these days, and it may not be too long. So in concluding, I want to read the last words that Jesus was saying. You know, all throughout the scriptures, it's talking about Jesus being worthy. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy. He makes us worthy by his blood. So, after we're finished here, I'm going to have us worship the Lord a bit. We're going to play some music, and we're just going to worship the Lord. And I want you to just imagine that you see him there in all of his glory, that you're before the throne, just like there with all those 24 elders worshiping the Lord. And just follow whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do in your worship. We need to be free in our worship for the Holy Spirit to move in and through us. No reservations. Just allow the Holy Spirit to worship through us. So Revelations 22, starting at verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to the churches. The very last chapter in the book. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me." Guess what? He's got a reward for it. He's always thinking about us. "My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life." Remember the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden? That God had to drive Adam and Eve away from? Well, now it's in heaven. And if we go to heaven, we get to eat of the tree of life. "And many enter through the gates into the city, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you of these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires. Have you got a desire? Whoever desires, come. Let him take of the water of life freely. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Can you say with me, even so, come, Lord Jesus?
Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Yes. It seems like a long time to us, 2,000 years. But in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to all be over. Very soon. If it's not for all of us, it's for somebody. It could be you or I. Come on, let's go, Lord. I'm ready, Lord, let's go. There's some people that just want to go on and be with Jesus because they get a revelation that Jesus is much better than what we got going on here.
That's right.
But he's got us here for a purpose.
That's right.
And we're going to be miserable if we're not taking care of his purpose. We won't be fulfilled.